say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Jeremiah chapter number 23. Things have gotten bad in the nation of Israel, and truth is in some ways they probably are even a little worse than they are in our culture today, but we certainly are on the path heading to the same type of situation that Jeremiah speaks of. Probably in the decline of a nation as far as on a scale, we're probably somewhere between the words of Jeremiah and about 100 years prior, Isaiah, who was sent to declare words to the people. And so Isaiah, when he was here, he had 10 burdens that he declared from God. There was much more that he preached besides that, but there were 10 burdens. One of them was a burden of Duma. Watchmen, watchmen, what of the night? They were 10 specific declarations that God made about nations and areas that were mean, that had mistreated His people, and that God had never forgotten what they did to the Jewish people. And so God was declaring His future judgment on them, and it was a burden. It was a burden for them that they were going to bear. It was a burden for them to think about if they knew what was said, to think about what was promised ahead for them, and in fact, did in fact come to pass. And so the days of Isaiah, this term burden was really about the first time it was used in that type of a sense, as in the burden of this area. By the time about 100 years passes and Jeremiah is doing his work of prophecy, these false prophets had turned this word that was intended to be a good word used toward proper and it was right, but they had turned this thing and they had turned it on its head and turned it into something bad. But there were a lot of circumstances that led up to this. Chapter 23, verse number 1, as we begin in the chapter, the pastors, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. The pastors of the day, they were guilty of driving away people from God. They were guilty of taking advantage of the people of God. They didn't try to bind up anyone. They didn't go out to try to get people back that have wandered astray. And to be quite honest with you, they were very, very poor pastors. And so God had told them, I'm going to take the sheep away from you and I'm going to bring in a righteous branch. In other words, He was prophetically speaking about Jesus Christ, that I'm going to bring in the Christ and He's going to treat my sheep, my people, right. And He's going to do good to them. Along the way, we realize that in that day, not only were the pastors negligent in their duties, not only were they doing a very poor job, but by the time you get down to chapter number 23, and in fact, verse number 13, he says, I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. Verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery. Now, we don't know for sure if this was physical adultery that was going on at the time or if it was spiritual adultery. Very likely, if we look around and consider our circumstances today, probably both. Now, there probably was some physical adultery that was going on. We certainly see that among some preachers, especially some of the well-known national preachers of our day. And there was adultery, and they were liars, and God was absolutely aggravated and frustrated with the whole thing. Certainly they were not after God like they should be. And these are men that are supposed to represent God. And what do you do when the general tenor of the day is that God's men are not what they ought to be and what they should be? And when God's men are negligent, it hurts God's people. When God's representatives in the world, even though they're not really the true representatives of God, they only advertise themselves to be, when they don't preach right and teach right, it causes God's people to err, to go down a wrong path. Verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them as unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. And therefore, God tells them what he's going to do to them because of that. He said in verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak in a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. In other words, they didn't get that message from God. One of the common characteristics of the day is they would speak about how they had a dream about something instead of getting a direct word from God. They would say, I had a dream about this and I got a vision about that, and instead of saying, here's what God said. And the prophets in that day, most all of them, were not men of God. And it's a sad day when a country, when a nation, when their preachers, the majority of them are not men of God, but are only fakes and scammers. Verse number 17, he said, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. This is what they were declaring. You shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. In other words, live however you want. It doesn't matter. God's not going to judge you for that. You're fine. You're fine. Live however you want. It's fine. And when they preach that message that you're all right as a follower of God to live however you want after your own imaginations of your heart, do what you want. God's not mad about that. God's love. He just loves all of us. It doesn't matter how you live. Certainly was not a message that came from the Lord. That God loves all of us, yes. Live however you want and God's not mad about it, definitely was a lie. And so by the time you get down to verse number 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then should they have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Mark this down. Characteristic of true preachers of God is that they're preaching, and when they're really preaching the word of God, it will provoke people to turn away from their evil and to begin to live right and good lives in the eyes of God. This live however you want is not a message from God. That God has a righteous standard, that he's holy, that he calls us to a holy and righteous life. That's the word that comes from the Lord. Now, kind of confusing, though, because some of these prophets and pastors no doubt were good speakers. No doubt they were well-respected men, many of them, in their communities. No doubt some of these prophets had great reputations, but it doesn't mean just because somebody says they're from God, it doesn't mean that they really are. And so the consequence is we need to make sure we're looking at the message and what is that message that they're preaching provoking people to do. It's very dangerous when a preacher will not preach about sin and he won't talk about hell and he won't speak about judgment to come because he's concerned about being too negative and he doesn't want to speak about anything negative. When everything that a preacher preaches is all sweetness, motivational speaking, and you're fine, live however you want. There is a problem with that. I don't care if they do pack 25,000 people in a stadium that they were able to purchase. And we're in deep danger that the largest, quote, church in our country doesn't even preach a message that includes any condemnation for those who would do wrong. But it speaks about the times that we're in, doesn't it? It really does. And you need to get your ears up, get your attention on. Don't be mad at me. Listen, don't be mad. Listen to the message. Does it turn people to righteousness? Or is it just telling people what they want to hear? And so, verse number 31. I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he or God saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I have sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. There's no benefit. Those type of preachers are no benefit to our country. They are no benefit to God's people, period. You might say, well, they inspire people and they encourage people, and the people that go to those churches are always happy all the time. Yeah, but if it doesn't turn people away from their wickedness. Not that every message has to be negative or down or condemning, but the truth is that we are to preach all the Word of God, not just the parts that are convenient to us or draw a crowd or promote attendance. We're to preach all the Word of God. And so we left off here shortly after this in verse number 33. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Now, very quickly, we're going to realize that God is extremely offended by this statement, the burden of the Lord. Even though it appears that they may have taken that terminology, the burden of, when God spoke about 100 years prior, the burden of Tyre, the burden of Duma, the burden of this area and that area. But now what they're saying is, God's word is a burden. It's a heaviness. It is very grievous to us. One of the definitions of the word burdensome is it's grievous. It's very heavy to bear. It's hard for us. And so we don't have to go very far into the New Testament to realize that one of the characteristics of God's people is that God's commands are not grievous. They're not burdensome to us. In fact, one of the great characteristics of the people of God is that they don't consider God's word and his commands to be burdensome at all. In the area of giving, in the area of showing up to give God his day, and God still does have one day every week, and God's commands are not burdensome to us to keep his law, to tell us to avoid this sin and not to live that way, and don't be liars and don't be cheaters and don't commit adultery and don't commit a fornication. That in 1 John chapter number 5, in case you need to look it up for yourself, it says, this is a characteristic of people that love God. Number one, that we keep his commandments, and number two, that his commandments are not grievous, or in other words, burdensome to us. And so what has happened in a culture where Jeremiah is preaching in his day, and the common view among the false prophets and among the pastors that weren't doing their job or weren't even sent from God at all, is that the word of God is a burden. It's a burden. It's a heavy to bear. It's troublesome. It's grievous to us. It's why's got to have God have so many rules? And in fact, he really doesn't have a lot of rules. Our laws in America have a lot of rules. I don't know if you've noticed, but our rules in America keep growing every year, and it doesn't make us better necessarily. But God's word stays the same. In fact, God's word is very simple. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's not too difficult to remember. And all the law and all the prophets are summed up in this. In other words, all the Old Testament commands and laws can be summed up in two very simple commandments, and that is not, that's not a lot. And so what we learn is that these people, the false prophets, have began to flip the word around, the term burden, and they began to call out and say that God's word was a burden for people to have to live by. God's aggravated. Verse number 33. And when this people, or a prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Hey, Jeremiah, what's the burden that you have? What are you going to tell us from God? What's the bad news? What kind of rule do you want to add? And how you want to tell us how to live our lives? And thou shalt say unto them, what burden? Jeremiah was supposed to say to them, what are you talking about? That God's word is a burden. You think it's a burden? That God wants us to live a right and holy life and be honest and not lie and cheat and manipulate and connive and be underhanded. You think that's a burden that God would call us to put him first above everything and to give him first place in our life? What are you calling this a burden for? It's not a burden at all, but not for God's people. Now listen, it's not a burden at all, not for God's people or the people that really love God. He goes on to say in verse number 33, and when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, or a shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? And thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? And here's what God said, I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. You want to say that my word is a burden to you, that it weighs you down, that it's that all I am is just trouble to you, that I'm a heaviness? I mean, this is the God that offers them eternal life. This is the God that wants to give them joy and peace and eternal life and forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. And you're going to have that attitude? Now, maybe it would be best for us to understand this in context of us as parents to maybe even understand how this could sting. You're getting ready to leave the house and your kids, you're like, all right, kids, when I'm gone, here's what I need you to take care of. And so much so, do you ask them to help out with some things while you're gone, or to do this, or to be nice, or act right, or don't fight while you're gone. But then it becomes this running joke among the kids. And you're getting ready to go, and they're like, hey, before you go, what's the burden? What's the burden of mom and dad? What are you going to tell us to do today? Now, I'm just telling you that that makes me aggravated thinking about my kids talking to me like that. Oh, yeah? What's your new rule? You always got something. You're always weighing us down. Why do you always give us something that you want us to do? What's the burden from mom and dad? And you see the arrogance and the very rudeness and the bad attitude that they have. And so I don't want to run that thing in the ground. I think that's sufficient, more than sufficient. Verse 34, the God's like, I will even forsake you. You think my word, my law, my commands are a burden? He's like, you don't have to have me around here. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, God's like, I'll even punish that man. And I'll not only punish that man, I'll punish his house. Why would God speak like that? Because guaranteed, bad attitudes are contagious. And if mom and dad have that attitude in a home, you can almost mark it down the attitude that the children are going to have. That's why it's important that we put God first as parents and we set the example to do what's right, because what are we teaching our kids when our attitude is, I got to go to church, got to serve God. Man, I can't believe all these rules in the Christian faith. Can you believe it? This is a real pain. This is annoying. Why does God keep adding all this stuff? I mean, we got to be honest. We can never tell a little white lie, and we got to treat people fair and love people and care. We got to give to the poor and watch out for the widows and watch out for the fatherless. Are you kidding me? Why do we have to do that? Let them take care of themselves. Let them have their own program. Let somebody else help them. We don't want to do that. We don't want to love people like we love ourselves. And we certainly don't want to put God first. And those kids, they're growing up and they're hearing. And they see much better than they hear. And no wonder our kids most often grow up to be less spiritual and less attuned to doing what God wants than we are. This is why you see the steady decline in a nation, because the kids normally, as a rule, are not more spiritual than mom and dad. Sometimes they are, but it is the rare exception rather than the rule. Normally, it looks something like this from generation to generation, unless they have a revival where they get turned back. But normally, it progresses something like this. And so in verse number 35, thus shalt thou say to everyone, thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what has the Lord answered? And what has the Lord spoken? Like, here's what I want you to say. I don't want you to say, what's the burden that God has for us today? I want you to ask, what does God think about this? What's God say? What's the Lord answered? And what has the Lord, see the capitalization? What has the Lord spoken? What does God think about this and how I'm living my life? And what does God want me to do? But instead, you got this bad attitude. Verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? Verse 38, but since you say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, because you say the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, even I will, this is a pretty scary thought, verse 39, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you. And I say, wait a minute, I thought that God said to us He would never leave us or forsake us. He said that to believers. But if in our country, if God's word becomes a burden to us and to our families in general, and we're like, you know, God, you get out of our schools and you get out of our government and we don't want to hear what you have to say. I mean, just pay attention to the news and watch what's going on and see the bad attitude that is growing like wildfire among people in our nation about God and about His word. And I'll tell you what's really sad, what's sadder than sad. It's sad enough that the lost world doesn't want to hear preaching from God. But what about if inside our own churches that we have people that don't even want to hear, here's what God has to say about this. And even inside of our churches, that the preaching of the gospel, and when a preacher would stand up and tell the truth, that it becomes a burden to the congregation. And I got to tell you that I've been there on a couple of occasions to preach to a group of people that didn't want to hear anything that God had to say about the way they were living their lives. And they give you the look, and they give you the bad attitude, and some when they get mad enough at you, they don't even want to look at you. And been there. That's all right. It's not the end of the world to me. But I tell you, Jeremiah told them, don't look at their faces. He said, if you're dismayed at their faces, then you don't know what to do, and you're intimidated by their faces when you're preaching the Word of God, because you're going to get that. In the day that Jeremiah preached, he's going to get the snotty, arrogant, I don't want to hear what God has to say looks from the people. And he's like, you know, you just preach it how I tell you to preach it, and you don't worry about how they respond to it. And I'll protect you. You'll be a walled city. You'll be a defensed city to them. Just preach what I have to say. Back to the text, verse number 39. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you. What if God did that to the United States of America? What if God said, you know, I'm done with you, I'm going to forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence? Now, this was specifically speaking to the Jewish people. And God's like, you know, here's what's going to happen is I'm going to turn away from you. I'm going to turn away from you. I'm going to forsake you. I'm going to utterly forget you. The city that I gave you and your fathers, I'm going to cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Now, this was about 600 years before Christ, and my simple question to you is this. Did that happen to the nation of Israel, yes or no? Yes, it absolutely did. Now, you don't want God? That's fine. Now, you don't have to have God. But you're not going to like it when God turns His back on us as a country. And He says, if you don't want me, then you don't have to have me. And God did do that to them, in fact. He said, I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you. Not only in the days of Jeremiah did the judgment come and Babylon came in and took over and they were sent off 70 years into captivity, but even more than that, how much more when God, about 600 years from this point, how much more when God's only begotten Son comes on the scene? And the Bible says if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and everything got a just recompense of reward, how much more when Christ Himself comes on the scene about 600 years after this, and He lives a perfect life, and He heals the sick, and He gives sight to the blind, and those that are lame can walk, and He healed all manner of diseases, and He forgave people's sins, and He gave them eternal life, and then they still couldn't stand Him as a general population. They still... Jewish people, as a rule, rejected Jesus Christ. And that day when Pilate brings Him out and he says, what should I do with Christ? And they said, crucify Him and let His blood be on us and on our children. And God's like, all right, you want it that way? You'll have it that way. And God turned to the Gentiles. He sent Titus in AD 70, and the nation of Israel was judged, and the people were scattered all over the face of the earth. And for almost the last 1950 approximately years, or a little over 1900 years, the Jewish people were scattered all over the face of the earth and were tremendously mistreated in the nations that they went to. One of the tremendous mistreatments of the nation of Israel was called the Holocaust. And that should be a stark warning to us as a nation. So you don't want God, and you want to reject Jesus Christ, and you want to think that His Word is a burden, and you want God out of our culture, out of our TV, out of our schools, out of our government. You want God out, then He'll do that. But we're not going to like how that goes. And see, you and I, we're watching the day where God's Word is becoming more and more despised, and where the Word of God used to be received and embraced, now the Word of God is a burden. Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me how to raise my kids. Don't tell me. And God's like, okay. My simple question to you is this, is God's Word a blessing or is it a burden to you? I know that I'm preaching to the choir, but I also understand that in a group this size, there are no doubt probably of someone that's here that the Word of God is more of a burden to you than it is actually a blessing. Because all you see it is a bunch of rules and a bunch of commands and a bunch of things that you have to do, but it's really not like that at all. Now, see, when you have a mom and dad, and when you really love them, and they grow old, and their health begins to fail, then if you don't love them right, if you don't honor them right, old age in your parents is something that you absolutely dread, and you're just trying to think, how can I get rid of the burden of mom and dad? But if you love your mom and dad right, it's not that it's a burden, and you love them, and you want to do for them, and you want to care about them. It's that way with God, you know. Is there any commandment, I'm trying to think of any commandment that I personally perceive that God has given to us as Christians that I personally think is burdensome? And I can't think of one. Why? Well, because of what God did. You're like, yeah, well, preacher, so what are you saying? What I'm saying is when you really are saved, God's commandments are not a burden to you. And if as a churchgoer you look at church attendance, serving God, etc., as a burden. I remember before I got saved, I still remember, even my parents were very, very faithful to take me to church, but I got to tell you, there was a lot of days that going to church was boring. Couldn't wait till it was over. Lay my head over on mom and dad's lap. When's this going to be over so we can go get some lunch and watch some football? Now, my parents maybe didn't know that I had that bad attitude, but actually, there's lots of bad attitudes we have in us. Most exciting thing I can remember as a lost kid growing up in a Sunday school, we did this little haunted house thing, actually, in the basement of the church for Halloween. I got to tell you, that says a lot about where I was in my walk with God, doesn't it? Does it not? Other than that, let's get this over with. When things began to change for me was when, right before I got saved, when I really began to study the Word of God. And then when I got saved, I have to tell you, church wasn't so boring anymore.
Amen.
What happened? How could a young man go to can't wait till this is over to very interested in what God has to say? And the answer is personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week. You say I belong to you.